Cool. Okay. We are on a series called Woven Together, just about the church being woven together by us and by God. And maybe one of the ways we can determine what's important, maybe is a little bit surprising, is by what the devil attacks the most. Okay. What the devil attacks the most is probably, you can say, that's really important for us. So that when Jesus was on the earth, he was attacked relentlessly by the devil. Through different people, using different people, but attacked relentlessly. This weekend we've had the Conquer series, because men are under attack. The devil hates men. He knows if he can take out men, he's going to take out the power of the church in many ways. He's going to take out leadership. He's going to take out initiative. He's going to take out strength. He's going to take out families. So he hates men. Ladies, don't be offended. He hates you too. But he's got a special hatred for men. But then when it comes to the gifts of God, if I have to go, which gift is under attack the most? I'd say it's probably the apostolic gift. Over the ages and right now, it's probably the gift that's under attack the most. And that should give us an idea of how important it is. And so this morning, I'd like to go into us as a congregation being an apostolic household and what the apostolic entails. And we're going to look at scriptures. So we're going to go through a bunch of scriptures because the scriptures form the guidelines. We give ourselves to the Bible, and it means we give ourselves to the Word of God when it's comfortable and uncomfortable. We don't just go for the comfortable. And so if the apostolic gift is crucial for the church, and it is, it's foundational, then let's understand it as far as we can. Let's give ourselves to it. Okay, so we're going to look at that. And if we want to be woven together, we need the apostolic. This is from Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. It talks about every muscle, every ligament being woven together. And it's us doing it, but it's actually the apostolic doing it as well. Okay, so we start, as always, with Jesus. Jesus is the apostle. You know that? Hebrews 3, 1. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. Jesus was the first apostle. It means that Jesus was sent by the Father to the earth. So he is the apostle. John 17, 3, Jesus is praying, and he says, and this is eternal life, that they know you, Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That word sent is the word apostle. So in other words, the Father apostled Jesus. There's a sender, the Father. There's a sent one, the Son, the apostle. And then there's some receivers, which is us, the world, the church. And so Jesus is the apostle. Now, one of the key questions would be, well, why was he sent? Why was he apostled? And if you're asking that question, well done. It's a good question. Isaiah 53. It was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. Jesus, the Son of God, was apostled, sent to this globe to die. He was sent to the cross to be crushed by the Father. But why? Descendants. Descendants. The heart of the Father is that everyone would come to know him. Everyone would come to know him. So Jesus was sent to reach everyone. Revelation, I think 5, hey. Revelation 5, 9. John is seeing the heavens and there's a scroll that needs to be opened and no one is worthy to open it. And eventually, Jesus arrives and says, and they sang a new song with these words, you are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it. For you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nations. So Jesus came to die on the cross for the nations. He's come so that from every tribe tongue, whether it's Amazon forest, whether it's in the jungles of DRC, whether it's Galvindale, whether it's Lorraine, dispatch, from every tribe, tongue, nation, He'd have sons and daughters, descendants. That's why the Son was sent. And that's our mission, actually. So Jesus, the first apostle. But what is apostolic? What would be the definition? And we've already touched on it. It means to be sent. It's a sent one. It's a messenger. An apostle is actually a messenger. It's one commissioned by another to represent him in some way. One commissioned by another to represent him in some way. So the apostolic actually has three entities. Okay, let me explain it because I know we're visual learners. Okay, Tarquin, you come here. Tarquin is often in the front, so he's often the guy. Should we get someone else? No, he's good. Okay, he's good. Okay, so Tarquin. Tarquin is a sender. Can you take a sending posture? There you go. That's what I was hoping for. That's what I was hoping. Okay, let's see how long you can keep your arm up. Okay. We need someone else. Yaku, you're in the front row, so you can be the other one. Okay, so Yaku, you can stand. Yeah, stand here in front of the... Okay, Yaku, you are the receiver. Can you take a receiving posture? Oh, well done. This is great. This is working out exactly as I was hoping it to be. Okay, so when we're talking about the apostolic, there's three entities. We have a sender, we have a sent one, me in this case, and we have a receiver. Okay, and different, either the sender or the receiver can benefit from this. Okay, so the most basic one is... We, as a family, we live in Greenshields Park. We live close to Greenshields Bakery. Sometimes we need a cool drink. And so Jess, the sender, will send Samuel, let's say, to Greenshields Park, the receiver, to get a cool drink and comes back with a cool drink. Who's benefited? The sender. The sender's... So I was an apostle. Like I went to Greenshields, but I was an apostle. I was a sent one. I was commissioned on behalf of the sender. Now, when I was a teacher, a high school teacher, I had to do this quite often where I'd be teaching and one of, like either chalk or a whiteboard marker runs out. I'm too lazy to go. So I send one of the students, a little grade 8 boy maybe, to another teacher. So there's a sender, there's a little grade 8 boy. He can't be out in the passages, so he's got a little letter from me, signed by me, saying, Mr. Maria sent you. And he goes, so if someone gets him, he's like, hey, Mr. Maria. And he comes here, and he should hopefully get a marker, go back. The thing is, so I've been commissioned by the sender, Mr. Maria. If I come here and I say, Mr. Maria needs a whiteboard marker. And he says, you little squally. You are just on a joyride. Go back. Who's he saying that to? He's sending it to the sender. Not to me. Okay, so the sender is the one who benefits in example one. Example two, Brendan and Gabby live just down the road from us. Judah's cricket bat broke. He needed another bat to use. Samuel had one. Is your arm okay? Okay, you can change if you. Okay, okay, okay. So I was sent by Samuel to take the cricket bat to Judah. Who was benefiting? The receiver, in this case. The sender wasn't benefiting at all. The sender was like, you're taking my cricket bat, man. So we've got those two examples. Sometimes, especially in the kingdom, both the sender and the receiver benefits. So we read in Philippians, I think, that Epaphroditus gets Philippian church. They hear that Paul, the receiver, is in jail. And it's like 2,000 years ago jail. So the prison doesn't care for you. You need family and friends. Paul's in Rome. He doesn't have family and friends. The Philippian church hears about this. They say, Epaphroditus, here's money, here's food. Go to the receiver, Paul. Bring him money, food, care for him, and encourage him. Who benefited? The receiver. But in the kingdom, the sender as well. As Paul says, when he talks about churches giving, he says, God will reckon it to your account. So the sender and the receiver has benefited in this case. Isn't that beautiful? Kingdom apostolic means sender and receiver benefits, almost always. Okay. You guys can sit. You've been amazing. Well done, Tarquin. Okay. Have you noticed something? Who doesn't really benefit? The sent one, the apostle. The sender, the receiver benefits, but the apostle. And this is the biblical view of the apostolic, of the sent one, is this: the apostle takes the lesser role, goes lower. And we can see this in Jesus. Jesus, our prime example of the apostolic. We read Isaiah 53. I read the chapter, and I just made a list of the words that describes Jesus' experience as an apostle. It's this: despised, forsaken, man of sorrows, smitten, pierced, crushed, oppressed, afflicted, judged. So the apostle takes the lesser role. But when the apostle, when the sent one comes, you need to look through him to the sender. In Jesus' case, to the Father. And Jesus says, I came to my own. I was rejected. Who did they ultimately reject? The Father. Okay. So hopefully that just starts giving us a bit of a feel for the apostolic in the New Testament. But let's actually look at some biblical, what does it mean to be an apostle? Who is an apostle? And it's actually beautifully multi-layered in the scriptures, the apostolic. It's beautifully multi-layered. Okay. So first, we're going to go to the example I just used, just to be someone who's sent. Philippians 2:25, Epaphroditus. We spoke about him. Meanwhile, I thought I should send, Paul talking, Epaphroditus back to you because he was getting quite sick. He is a true brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier. And he was your messenger, apostle, to help me in my need. So the first sort of level in the sense of the apostolic is just someone who's sent. And it's just sent. In some sense, we're all apostles. Why? Because Jesus said in Matthew 28, go. So he sent us all as messengers with a message, good news. So Jesus, the sender, sends us. And I'm an apostle with a good news message to a broken world, the receiver. But just because you're an apostle like this, it doesn't mean you're an apostle. It doesn't mean you're gifted to be an apostle. Before I became a teacher, I was a student teacher. Just because I was in front of the class with a whiteboard behind me didn't mean I was a teacher. Grade 11s have a special instinct when they see a student teacher. I stood in front of the class, and I could see the grade 11 class going, fresh meat. And if you were ever in school and you had a student teacher, you know this experience. And they chewed me up and they spat me out. I was a teacher, but I wasn't a teacher. You could be an apostle, but you're not necessarily gifted to be one. Okay, so let's look at sort of what does this mean. So this is the one layer, we said, of being an apostle. The other would be the 12. 12 apostles. We know them well, hey. And they actually form quite a unique category. There'll never be anyone like them again. Let's look at Acts 1. So Jesus had already died. He was resurrected. And Judas hung himself, one of the 12. And they say, so now we must choose a replacement for Judas from among the men who were with us the entire time we were traveling with the Lord Jesus. From the time he was baptized by John until the day he was taken from us, whoever is chosen will join us as a witness of Jesus' resurrection. So Judas was gone and they needed a replacement. And the qualification was from the time of Jesus' baptism until his resurrection. Now there were about 120 candidates. And they narrowed it down to two, Joseph and Matthias. Ended up choosing Matthias. I often wonder, like, poor Joseph. Like, was it done by lot, I think, eh? Like, they're like, Matthias. But they are a unique category. They're chosen to be a witness of Jesus' life and resurrection. And Revelation says they are in the foundation stones of the New Jerusalem, those 12. So no, there will never be anyone like them. They are unique. Scripture was written by many of them, so it's just different. They're not going to be repeated. But the big question is, are there apostles besides the 12? Romans 1:1. This letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach his good news. Paul is different. He's not one of the 12. He's not going to be in the heavenly Jerusalem in those foundation stones. He's not going to be there. He's different. And one of the reasons is God gave him a specific grace. And he broke open the nations. Remember, Jesus' heart was nations. Those 12 were working amongst Jews. Some Jews from other nations. But Paul gets sent in Acts 13 by the church in Antioch to the nations. Set apart from Saul and Barnabas. And he goes out and he breaks open the nations. And so many of the letters we have are from Paul as well. 1 Corinthians 3:10. Because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder or a master builder. Now others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. Jesus is the architect, but he's also the cornerstone and the foundation. So Paul was given a grace by God to build like a master builder, but specifically to Gentiles, to the nations. And Paul submits his message to the guys in Jerusalem, saying like, am I doing the right thing? Okay. So Paul is like, he's a bit unique. He's not a 12, but he's also like in his own little category. Were there others? Does the Bible talk about other apostles? Acts 14:14. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Saul heard what was happening, they tore their clothing. Like, that's a whole other story. But here, Barnabas is called apostle. We're not going to read this passage, but 1 Thessalonians 2:6-7, Silas and Timothy are called apostles. So suddenly it's open up. This gift has been opened up, and it's for the church. In Revelation 2:2, and this is critical because Book of Revelation, end of the first century. Are you sticking with me? I know I'm going quite technical today. A little bit of history here as well. Book of Revelation, the 12 are dead, except for John. And the other, Barnabas, probably dead. Paul, dead. And Jesus speaks through John. He speaks to the church in Revelation 2:2. He says, well done. There were false apostles. You tested them. You discerned they're not apostles. Now, if the apostolic gift had ceased, Jesus would have said, there aren't many more apostles. But wherever there's a real, there's also the fake. That's what the devil does. He always fakes. And so we can see clearly there are modern day apostles. If it was back then, it's still now. Here's the interesting thing. If you take the Ephesians 4:11, those fivefold gifts, teachers, let me get this right. Now I don't know where I am. Okay, I'm going to go from memory. I might have it wrong. Of those gifts mentioned by name, I think there were four evangelists mentioned by name. I think it was one teacher mentioned by name and a couple of prophets like Agabus. Apostles everywhere. By name, I've just mentioned a couple, but I haven't mentioned all because we don't have time. Apostles mentioned everywhere. How many pastors are mentioned by name? Today? We've got pastors everywhere. The devil wants to steal from us. This is a gift for the church, for us to be woven together to reach the nations. Okay. What do apostles do? Well, firstly, we've seen they're skilled builders. The thing is, as a church and as individual Christians, we drift away from Jesus easily. We don't know it. Okay. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted. And so an apostle is a skilled master builder, comes in and sees there's a weakness here. There's a weakness here. And begins addressing it. And just massaging new truths. The thing is, you need a skilled builder. You can't use a back of the bucky builder. Okay, if you're building a little 1 meter high wall that's 2 meters long in your backyard, you can do a back of a bucky guy. Okay, if you go around, everyone has a Zim guy that they use. Sorry, Normty. Everyone knows a Zim guy. They can do it at the cheapest rate. But if you're going to build a 10-story building, your back of the bucky dude is not going to make it work. You need a skilled master builder. When we come to the church, we're not building a little wall. We're not building a Wendy house. We are building the most precious, valuable thing in the world. So that's what an apostle does. He corrects doctrine. All the New Testament letters, correcting doctrine, correcting doctrine. What he also does is he builds with other gifts in the field. Okay, the well-known passage, Ephesians 4, 11, 12. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. A master builder knows what to do when. So when we built a base, I was managing that project, and I'd never built before, so I was not a master builder. I needed Thomas Duffy, who was a properly skilled builder, to help me. Because if you don't get the electrician in at the right time, and you've done your tiling, and you've done your painting, and you get an electrician in then, you're wasting so much money. There's a time to get an electrician in. The master builder knows when. There's a time to get the prophetic gift in. The apostolic dude knows when. And the golden rule in building is, don't let your plumber do your electrical work. Amen. A master builder knows what gift when. It's not going to use a prophetic gift to do teaching. And that happens quite often. A guy's super gifted as a prophet, so he teaches about the prophetic, but actually he's a sucky teacher. And you need the teacher to teach about the prophetic. The master builder knows this. And he knows how to use the gifts within a field. 1 Corinthians 3:9. For we are both God's workers, him and Apollos, Paul and Apollos. And you are God's field. You are God's building. So Paul says, I can't boast about another person's field. His field was the Gentiles, the non-Jews. Peter was working with the Jews. And so we are also part of a field. We're part of a field called 412. Auction Life, in a sense, is a field within a field, to get a little bit technical, because we've got about 10, 11 congregations. So we work together. And that's what apostolic household is. We exist for the field. And the master builder will get the local church to not exist for itself, but for the field. So, I mean, Koops used this example. If you're a saint, just a normal person, a Christian, you exist for the local church. The local church exists for the field. And the field exists for the nations. So it means the local church is never its own little entity. And we see this all over the New Testament. I'll go through a couple of quick examples. Antioch church, they explode. There's a life of God. Jerusalem, hundreds of kilometers further south, hears about us. And they go, let's send Barnabas. Now Barnabas was he's a big weapon. He's a bazooka. Like, they could benefit from Barnabas in Jerusalem. But they're like, go Barnabas. We exist for the field, for the nations. You go Barnabas. There's a sending church, Jerusalem, receiving an apostle. Beautiful. And then, yeah, Barnabas gets Paul. Paul, I love this. So Paul he's on his missionary journey, Acts 16. He goes to a place called Derbe. He sees this young oak. And he was an oak. He was probably like a teenager, they reckon. And he would have been gifted. He was half Jewish, half Greek, probably a good preacher, gifted dude, vital to the church, I'm sure. And Paul looks at him and goes, I need him. And the church says, take him. And then Paul looks at Timothy. I mean, as a young guy, and it's the apostle Paul, you must be like, woohoo, adventure, we're going to see God come, God's grace, it's going to be amazing. And Paul says to him, Timothy, get circumcised. It's a bit of an anticlimax. You're half Jewish and half Greek. I need you to be Jewish for where we're going. And Timothy says, okay. And he gets circumcised. Can I tell you what the next verse says? The churches were strengthened in faith and increased in numbers daily. An apostolic household, that's what happens. Okay, so what does this mean for us? I'm going to try to bring this to a close. I know this has been a bit technical. Hopefully it helps us. What does this mean for us? It means we have to be good receivers. We have to be good messengers. And, sorry, I've got it wrong. We have to be like Tarkon, good senders. Good messengers, good sent ones, and good receivers. So firstly, good receivers. We have to be able to receive and recognize the apostolic. The church in Revelation, they had the duty to discern. Is this guy the real thing or not? The local church discerns. But then when you receive an apostle, an apostolic gift, Paul says elsewhere about the prophetic, those who receive a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. So how we receive the apostolic gift will determine what we get. So, gathering in 2 weeks. We've got Brad coming down. Brad's an apostolic gift to us. That means Brad's here from Australia. I will do anything to get to Fairview, to come under the apostolic. What I'll do, must I sell a kidney? I'll sell the kidney. I was going to say sell a child, but then it was maybe too far. Let me go down this road. Yeah. You've got 4. What's one less? This is Brent Pfeiffer preaching on the recording. This is Brent Pfeiffer preaching. Okay. My child is a sports tour. School's going to burn, man. 5 years. My son Samuel, in 4.5 years, he's out of DF Manitoba. I know what school, I've been in the belly of the beast. I know what schools do. They try to create a community that gets you stuck in. I was sitting with someone close to me the other day saying, like, I've got my community. Here they are. So I'm not saying school mustn't be valuable, but it actually comes second. I was talking to a friend the other day. He's got a child in Framsby. Hockey tour, 8,000 Rand. 8,000 Rand. Every parent will make a plan. They'll sell a kidney. East London conference in October. 700 kilometers there and back. Probably like 500 bucks. Probably going to be 2,000 Rand. Ah, it's too much. Oh, man. We're talking about eternal things. We're talking about the nations. Okay, so hear me out. I'm not saying school is bad. Okay, it's the priorities. Okay. Be good receivers. Social media. Andrew's always posting stuff on Facebook. It's great. Get on there. Okay, so good receivers. Good senders. Grant Victoria Boyson. How cool is that? They were deacons, comm leaders here. Ron Kingsley phones me. We need an operations guy. I was like, oh, I think I've got one. And they've gone. That church has grown because of Grant Victoria. Right now, Levi isn't here. He's leading worship in Galvindale. We've sent him. I know we haven't like prayed him. We've sent him there to go and lead worship. Praise God. We are weaker. Levi's a gift. Neil and Rebecca Brunt. They're staying with us, don't worry. But Ray and St. Francis, they don't have a single worship leader at the moment. It's like, we need worship leaders. We need someone consistent. I'm like, I think I've got one. Actually, that's not how. I was like, there are other congregations, and I was like, I'm going to take this gap. Because I know it'll be reckoned to our account. So for the next 3 months, every second week, they're going to be in St. Francis. Rebecca's pregnant, by the way. For those of you that don't know. Yeah. Every second week, they're going to drive through to St. Francis, Saturday night, sleepover, lead worship. They're a gift. It's amazing. For Jess and myself, we've been traveling quite a bit. And we've been sent by Western Suburbs. And it's giving a chance for others to rise up and take more responsibility. By the way, we're not going anywhere. As far as I know, we're dying in Western Suburbs. As in a good way. We're dying in Western Suburbs. We're taking it a couple of ways. We're going to hold on to all our children. We're not going to send anyone. And then let's be good messengers. Good messengers. I mean, Dini and Faith coming up here. They went to the Inland Gathering. Terenique took a car. She was like, who can I take with me? Faith, Awunga. And why? Spending like a good couple hundred rand on fuel, sleeping in an uncomfortable situation, like there were like 10 people sleeping in that house, to be a blessing, to be an apostle, to be a sent one. What a joy, man. So let's be good senders, receivers, and messengers. Okay, Chris, can you guys come up? We're going to end with a song of worship. Friends, this is for Jesus, and it's for the nations. For Jesus, for the nations. Jesus had this moment in John 12. He had a little moment. He saw it was coming. He saw being despised, being smitten, being rejected, hanging on the cross, being tortured, going through pain. He saw that. And he had this little interaction with the Father. And he prayed out loud so everyone could hear. He said this: my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. I love that moment. Jesus, the apostle, the sent one, when just, it's about you, the sender. It's about you. But here's a beautiful thing. Jesus laid his life down. He emptied himself. And then the Father says, I'm going to give you the name above every other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee would bow. Friends, if we laid our lives to be good senders, good receivers, good sent ones, the Father sees. If we say, Jesus, for the nations, for the nations.